Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Ammons, and this is our 300th radio show of Sporting Journal Radio. Of course, 300 episodes ago, 300 weeks ago, we started as Minnesota Sporting Journal Radio. And as we expanded into Wisconsin and North Dakota and South Dakota, we dropped the Minnesota name. We're now Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for tuning in. 300 weeks, 300 shows, so what, 52 weeks a year? That's what, almost 6 years we've been doing this show here. We're on 28 stations. We're also online at Sporting Journal Radio. And, of course, you can also subscribe to the show and listen in iTunes. It's very simple. You can download the podcasts app on your iPhone and download that and subscribe to Sporting Journal Radio and get the show sent right to your phone each week. Very, very simple. So, as always, we'll have Joe Henry on the show from Lake of the Woods. He's been on the show, my gosh, probably almost all 300 weeks. He's been on for a very, very long time. Lucas Mertens will check in from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. And we can't celebrate our 300th show without having our old radio pal, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department on the show this week. Doug, how's it going?
Wow, good to visit with you, boy. You don't sound like you're winded or tired out. I mean, it's almost like a marathon worth of shows. 300. Well, congratulations in all sincerity. I always enjoy visiting with you, and it's good to hear your voice again, T-Bone.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, of course, Doug, we've been doing radio together for a number of years, and of course, I worked in radio for a long time doing music radio, and I worked in Fargo with you for a long time, and we used to, when I started doing outdoor radio, I think, if I remember correctly, I just started having you on one of the rock stations I was doing, Rock 102 or one of those. I think I just started having you come in the afternoons and just start talking hunting and fishing, didn't we? Didn't we used to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And as most people know, it's natural. I mean, that's what we love is the outdoors. And you live in the Midwest. If you live in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, anywhere in the Midwest, and you don't enjoy the outdoors, I don't know what you're doing here, because I like saying it, and I believe it because it's from my heart, is like, this is the Walt Disney World of the outdoors. This is the Fort Knox. This is Yankee Stadium. I don't know what else you could say to get people to understand that this is the place to be if you like to hunt and fish. This is where it's at, and you know that, and I know that.
We take it for granted, I think, sometimes, because it is absolutely the best. Minnesota's unbelievable. The Dakotas, I love the Dakotas. I miss living in North Dakota so much, and part of that is from being able to bow hunt out in the Badlands all the time, which I used to take 3 trips out west all the time. I miss that a lot, of course. You know, I spend just about every day outside here in Minnesota, so the opportunities around here are endless. And Doug, it's funny, you talk to people. I mean, if you're like me, you don't ever want to live on the coasts anyway. But when you talk to people that are out there, or you don't even have to go that far, when you talk to just other people in parts of the country and you talk about the fishing opportunities that we have, you know, particularly in Minnesota, obviously North Dakota's got great fishing too. But when you talk about the outdoor opportunities we have here, they don't have that in other parts of the country. I mean, there's opportunities. Obviously, there's great, you know, duck hunting down in Arkansas. But, you know, the public land down there gets just hammered, and it's all duck clubs a lot of times. And private land, you got to spend a lot of money to hunt that. So, I mean, the opportunities we have here are great, Doug.
And that's one of the things that you and I, you know, really, we get it, we understand it, and we try to, maybe part of our mission and our goal is to help people that have lived here all their life understand just how fortunate and how blessed we are. I mean, we may joke about it, but it's real. Is like the worst day of fishing in Minnesota is better than the best day of fishing in New York City. The worst day of duck hunting in South Central North Dakota is better than the best day of duck hunting in Arizona or a lot of other. There's a lot of examples out there, and I don't think we can try to maybe push people or pull people or really just try to get them to maybe squeeze as much out of the outdoors as we possibly can. And that's one of the things, like in your own backyard, You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where you're living. You might be living in Fargo and think, you know, I'm going to have to drive an hour to go fishing, or I'm going to have to put some miles on to do this or that. You go, no. I mean, no matter where you're listening, you can probably wet a line and you can probably catch a fish in a matter of minutes and not hours, in a matter of just a few miles, T-Bone.
You know, and you, when people, and you being in the game and fish department, I mean, you are subject to, I'm going to use the word abuse. You won't use that word, but I will. You're subject to the abuse from the outdoorsmen in your state constantly, and it comes with the territory. You're not complaining about it by any means, but it's because people are so passionate about what we have here, and it's so important. As frustrating as it gets sometimes when people complain about things, I mean, you can look on the Minnesota side and think about Mille Lacs for a minute and how frustrating it is just to listen to the constant daily battle that goes on with that lake. But it's good to have that passion. It's good that we have people that are so interested in these outdoor resources. And of course, everybody's a Monday morning quarterback and everybody's an expert, but it's good that we have passionate people like that, isn't it, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really, and it almost gives me goosebumps, because we live in an area where we have a heritage of outdoors and fishing, where people, you know, put that in their heart. And this is something that they believe in. I mean, I don't think maybe as Game and Fish or Minnesota DNR understand how fortunate we are to hear from people in the Lakes area of Minnesota that say, we want DNR, we want Game and Fish to do more or as much as they can to slow the spread of zebra mussels. And you go, okay, wait on here. We have people that want regulation. We have people that want game wardens checking. Yeah, because the anglers, the water users, are so informed. They know the threat that zebra mussels and aquatic nuisance species are. We live in an area when you and I have talked a lot about habitat and CRP and, you know, the Conservation Reserve Program and the coming farm bill. Is that I go back to a guy that you and I can, you know, look to with a lot of respect over our careers, a guy like Tony Dean, who basically would pound on the sod over how important something as basic as grass and clean water, and he wasn't ashamed of it. And the guys that we hunt and fish with, they understand that how important it is to have CRP, how important it is to have that habitat, how important it is to have regulations to keep zebra mussels from getting transferred to the next lake.
Right. And it, you know, and it's tough sometimes when you have that CRP conversation, because you start running into politics and you run into the farmers who are out there trying to make a living, and it's a delicate balance, and trying to please everyone is impossible, as you well know. But it's finding that right balance and making sure that we have opportunities that stick around for future generations. Our guest right now is Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, here on our 300th episode of Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. And Doug, I know things are happening over there in North Dakota right now. This past week, people had to decide if they were going to hunt deer this fall.
Yeah, and actually our deer application deadline was on Wednesday. And one thing that I want to point out is for the listeners, the listeners that are, that put in for North Dakota deer application, one of the really good things about going all electronic, all applications gratis, everything had to be done electronic, is we don't know the exact day, but we do know that should speed up the lottery being held. So you know, in past, it's been maybe the backside of July. I'm not even going to try to guess when it's going to be held, but we should see the lottery take place a little bit earlier. That's another one of those benefits of things moving to the full electronic age in North Dakota, T-Bone.
Being a non-resident now, I haven't been paying close attention to the North Dakota deer season and the deer lottery. I didn't even deer hunt in Minnesota last year, or Wisconsin. I used to hunt in all three states each fall, and I didn't have time between guiding waterfowl and doing prairie sportsman. I didn't have time to deer hunt at all. I'm very disappointed in that. How are things looking over there? License numbers going up? Is the population going up? How are we sitting?
We actually added a few hundred more tags to our license allocation this year, and that's the third year of a small increase. But the big message is that it's going in the right direction. We went through about a 10-year shrinkage of deer tags in North Dakota, pretty drastic shrinkage, and it's good to be going in the right direction. And people say, well, it's only a few hundred. Yeah, but if you're one of those few hundred, I mean, it doesn't matter if you add 10,000 or 100. If you don't get drawn, it doesn't matter. And if you do get drawn, it does matter. So it's definitely a good sign. In the Red River Valley and in a lot of eastern North Dakota, we got a good shot of rain here the middle part of the week, and that's definitely put a smile on some people's faces. We needed a shot of water in those smaller lakes and reservoirs, those sloughs that have been kicking out some pretty good walleye and perch over the past years. We needed a shot of water for the habitat as we get into kind of that hatch time for the pheasants. Those pheasant chicks should be hatching out. And last year we were in extreme drought. The moisture is what provides the insect population that those small little pheasants need to feed on after they hatch out. So we're kind of crossing our fingers that hopefully we have some better conditions for our pheasant hatch. And I'm maybe putting the cart a little bit ahead of the horse, but when we saw a pheasant population take a hit from the drought last year that was so significant, anytime we got reason to smile, we're looking at it, and right now where we sit in the early part of June, there's some good positive momentum in the outdoors from fishing to upland game, and then hopefully what we can see in some deer production. Have heard from some farmers, they've seen a few fawns dropped here in the last couple of weeks. So there's some optimism on the prairies of North Dakota right now, T-Bone.
Doug Lear, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I want to take a quick break. Doug, can you stick around for a little bit?
Sounds good, buddy.
We can talk fishing and more from the North Dakota side of the Red River here on Sporting Journal Radio. Also, Joe Henry will get us an update from Lake of the Woods, and also Lucas Mertens will check in from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake on our 300th show. That's the only sound effects we could afford this week here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or get the show sent directly to your phone via the podcasts app on your iPhone. Just search for Sporting Journal Radio. It is our 300th show, and that means we have to have one of the guys that I started talking outdoors with on the radio way back when, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Doug?
You kind of make me, you know, get a little bit nostalgic about some of the conversations we used to have about, you know, really kind of the efforts nationwide about recruiting the next generation of hunters, recruiting the next generation of anglers, and sport shooting and archery in the schools. And boy, things have definitely come a long way in the last 5 to 10 years, T-Bone.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and when we started talking, you know, it's got to be at least 10 years ago, maybe even longer than that, when we started yapping on the radio about hunting and fishing. And forever, the mantra has been introduce a kid to the outdoors, or we need to get more people. It's been about recruitment because license sales are going down, and there's gloom and doom for hunting and fishing. And while I think some of that may be slightly exaggerated, there is no question that there are fewer and fewer people enjoying the outdoors. And to me, one of the biggest things that's come along in the last 10 years that's reversed that trend is that Clay Target League. You're talking about kids, schools, guns, zero accidents in the 12 years or something that the Clay Target League has been around. And what an increase in interests from shooting sports to the outdoors that Clay Target League has had, Doug.
And you know what, Brett? It is such a hurdle to overcome is perception and reality. And I guess if you want to go find some statistics that paint a bleak picture, then go ahead and do it. But, you know, you and I can remember a day and a time, and we're probably what people might say kind of in that middle age, but...
Hey, now.
Well, hey, reality, if you and I have been talking on the radio for 10 years, we didn't start when we were 15 years old, did we?
That's true. Maybe true.
But, I mean, the reality is we've seen youth deer seasons evolve, youth pheasant seasons, youth duck seasons. It's gone a lot further than just take a kid fishing. There have been urban ponds that have been established with fishing opportunities for people. Archery in the schools is just phenomenal. And that's not just a Minnesota and a North Dakota thing. High school clay pigeon, clay target leagues, and the state championships. And the numbers just almost kind of boggle your mind. To me, one of the things that really gets me excited is if you look at some of those names, you might see a name of a kid that never played basketball, never played with a bat and a ball or any kind of the old traditional sports in high school, and they found a niche where they can succeed and they can have fun and they can take that along with them for their entire life. Not to say there's also dozens and dozens and if not hundreds of examples of that same kid that might be all-state in basketball and football, and he's going to the state tournament in national archery in the schools. And when we can get people that want to pick up a bow, an arrow, that want to pick up a shotgun, that want to pick up a rod and a reel when they're age 12 or 22 and then continue that on all through their life, I think we definitely have to make sure that people know how successful these programs have been.
Let's talk about urban fishing a little bit, because when I lived in Fargo, I always felt like I had to drive a long ways to do some fishing. And of course, you got the Red River there, which can offer some pretty great opportunities. But there's some other chances to fish around there, isn't there?
Oh, I mean, and that's one of the things. You know, one of the big accomplishments that's taken place all across the Midwest is, yeah, you know, you might have a river that was probably more for maybe somebody that's had some fishing experience before they're going to go down to the river. And I mean, anybody can wet a line. You know, it's like playing a fiddle. I can pick up a fiddle and make a noise, but anybody want to listen to it? Probably
not. Probably not.
You know? So, I mean, anybody can go down to the river and wet a line, but if you want to catch a fish, it might take a little bit more skill and ability. And now we've added opportunities in, like, stormwater retention ponds, I guess, that's exactly what they are. And we can work with parks and rec and municipalities to make those suitable fish habitat for trout, for some panfish, even some northern pike. And that gives urban areas, maybe it's a single parent, maybe it's a dad that never grew up in a home that was into fishing, and you've got a fishing pier in maybe a little more controlled environment, and we've made it a little bit more accessible for somebody to go fishing. And that's happening all across the Midwest, as well. And it takes money, it takes people, but it takes a belief and a heart of people in city government and parks and rec and some of the local fishing clubs and conservation clubs to make it happen. And it is happening. And that's a great story to be told, is that it is happening.
We just got a couple of minutes here left, Doug, and I want to touch on one thing. It may not be in your wheelhouse necessarily, but the Farm Bill and the CRP, North Dakota, of course, has always been, especially that southwest corner, even southeast North Dakota has had good pheasant numbers. A lot of grass has come out. Where are we sitting with CRP in North Dakota, and where do you think we're going to end up?
Well, I think the best news that I've heard is that there's a strong contingent from the Midwest that are getting the message out there that CRP is not just wanted, but it's needed. It's needed and it's supported from the farm communities. It's needed and it's wanted from the conservation and the natural resource agencies. So there's a united front. I don't know what the end result is going to be, but I've seen some numbers that show there's some support for increasing the cap on CRP. The nationwide acreage cap has shrunk pretty significantly in the last 10 years. And I think if we can see that bubble move and that acreage allotment expand, I don't know how we can't say that's not a win. Is that going to happen? I'm optimistic, and from what I'm hearing, there's definitely a lot of support. But then again, what you hear in the Midwest and what happens in Washington D.C. unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, as you know all too well, may not completely line up. But I guess let's look at it this way, though. Thankfully, where we live, there is united support for that, and without that, I don't know if the discussion would even be taking place. I mean, how many other issues can you have, groups like the Farm Bureau and Farmers Union, along with Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited, all standing together saying, we've got a common ground here. And I think that's definitely, maybe you and I would have looked back 30 years ago, that's never going to happen. And it is happening. And that's a good thing.
Well, and, there's demand for it for farmers out there. Of course, when commodity prices have come down, so there's demand for competitive rates for CRP type programs and easement programs, conservation programs. And we were down to 24 million, I think is what it was. And they were at 38 or 39 million, I think, back in 2007 was our peak. And that was also the peak number for pheasants harvested. So that right there just tells you how important the CRP program is. And, of course, it's not just for pheasants, but deer and nesting ducks, songbirds, pollinators, everything else that enjoys grass out on the prairie. They all benefit from that conservation reserve program. So hopefully we get the acreage, a heavy increase in acreage in the next farm bill. And hopefully it's something that works for everybody. And we can all just get along. So
yeah, this is the time to contact your United States Senator and your congressman and let them know, because if they don't hear from you, how do they know that there's support from the hunters and anglers? And
that's right.
And it doesn't, I've done it myself. It doesn't take too long to do it, but you have to do it. It's like, you can sit there and wish you'd get a deer tag, but if you don't apply for it, you're not going to get it.
That's right.
You can wish for more CRP, but you have to make sure that you send the message as well.
Right. Well, Doug Lear, our 300th show, you've been on the show, of course, many times, had to have you on this week from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Good luck over there on the North Dakota side of the Red River. And, of course, thanks once again for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, I'll mark myself down for number 600. That's right around the corner, right?
There you go. Maybe we'll do 400 and 500 first. But, yeah, I like that. We'll plan for 600.
Sounds good, T-Bone. Always good to visit with you, my friend.
Coming up, we got Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods and Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort is next.
Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Haybale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Haybale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, and this is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online at sportingjournalradio.com. And a real easy way to listen is by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes. If you have an iPhone, you can download the Podcasts app from your app store, and you can get the show delivered right to your phone every week in the Podcasts app in the Apple App Store on your iPhone. All right, we're going to head back up to Devil's Lake and check in with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground in Resort, where, man, summer fishing's got to be in full swing up there right now, Lucas.
Yeah, you bet, Brett. The water's warming up, and the fishing is really starting to turn on. Weather's nice. Everything is good.
One thing, we've talked about it on the show here before. It's interesting, we've had some really warm weather. And typically when you think of midsummer, when temperatures really start to go up and the sun gets really bright and you get those long, bright, hot, sunny days, you start thinking about having to go deep for walleyes, but that's not really the case on Devil's Lake, is it?
No, not yet. The fish still seem to be in that shallower water. You know, guys are pitching crankbaits up in that, you know, 4-foot range. And there's a few fish starting to go out into the deeper water, you know, 10, 12 feet, but nothing real, real deep yet.
You also think of typical structure, you know, being on the Minnesota side, you think about like reefs, rocky reefs and things like that for structure. You don't necessarily have that typical structure on Devil's Lake, do you?
Well, we have a lot of breaks, I guess, when the lake came up, you know, a lot of points and things like that. Flooded timber seems to be pretty popular right now. A lot of guys slip bobbering in that timber, which there's a lot of timber on Devil's Lake. If you've never been here, you've probably felt that in your checkbook.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Lucas Merton's our guest from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake here on Sporting Journal Radio. So you're running clients right now. They're bringing in some pretty nice fish.
Yep, the resort is in full swing. Guys are doing a little guide. You know, there's guys going on guided trips. There's guys doing it themselves. And everything is just really getting busy all about the last 10 days. That's when everybody shows up and everybody's on their summer breaks. A lot of nice fish coming in. A lot of big fish being caught, you know, 24, 25-inch fish that are all spawned out and guys are getting into them.
Is there any kind of slot limit on Devil's Lake at all?
No, Brett. Devil's Lake doesn't have a slot limit. And you can pretty much keep whatever you like. We try to stay in that 15 to 18-inch range for our eating fish, and we try to let everything, bigger than that go or smaller.
Sure. Sure. And that's really all you need. I mean, those are perfect fish for eating. Like, you let the big ones go back and have lots of babies, let the small ones grow. That's a good plan right there.
Exactly.
And I heard a couple of really big fish coming out of Devil's Lake this year too, it sounds like.
Oh yeah. There's a few 30-inch fish that have come out. Some big pike being caught. Pike are really active this time of year. If guys want to come up and catch pike, this is the perfect time to do that.
You know, northern pike are so underrated as a fish, and you know, maybe that's because a lot of guys are sick of catching the little hammer handles or whatever. And obviously Minnesota's trying to do something about that. But boy, you don't really have that problem on Devil's Lake of small pike, do you, Lucas?
Not really. Some of the northern feeder lakes, a lot of the smaller northerns go up there. But, you know, a real good range of a northern, we get a lot of them, 5 to 10 pounders. I mean, that's fairly common on Devil's Lake if you're out, you know, pitching for them. Guys want to make sure you use as a leader. I know you can lose a lot of tackle in a hurry with those northerns.
Sure. But that 30-inch fish, that's a pretty good eating northern pike too.
Yeah. Yeah, northerns, yeah, they get a bad rap, but they're fun for the kids to catch, or they're fun, you know, I like catching them, and if a guy knows how to clean them right, they're a pretty good eating fish also.
Yeah, they're delicious, and I'll tell you what, they are. I grew up fishing for bass in northern, and, you know, especially those big pike, they can just put up such a fight, and I'll tell you what, when we were up there fishing out of one of the snow bears a couple years ago, Lucas, with you guys, I caught that one that was around 10 pounds through the ice. And I'll tell you, that was one of the most fun experiences I've had fishing through the ice.
Yeah, especially you probably had perch tackle on when you did that.
Right.
So that's a real good time.
Speaking of perch, Lucas Merton's our guest, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, here on Sporting Journal Radio. I know walleyes seem to be the typical target on Devil's Lake in the summertime. Perch, they're just deeper, they're spread out, they're harder to find. You just don't hear about them as much in the summer, Lucas.
No, you occasionally get into them. You'll catch an odd one here and there. And I typically see them when we're out way deeper, like in July. Maybe we're throwing or pulling crankbaits in, you know, 25, 30 feet of water. You'll get a couple. But for the most part, you don't see a lot of them during the summer.
So if a guy wanted to take a trip, somebody listening right now wants to go up to Devil's Lake and fish this summer, say they fished it before, they could come just stay at Hay Bale Heights and go out and do it on their own?
Oh, yeah. That Devil's Lake is an easy enough lake to come do it yourself. All you need is a couple general spots, and the fish kind of take care of the rest.
But if somebody doesn't know the lake very well, and as you said, you can, you know, there's some structure out there that he could run into, or it's a big lake, or maybe it gets pretty windy. It's kind of nice to go out with a guy that knows the lake a little bit and knows, you know, exactly where the fish are. You could bring some guys out with your guides, right?
Oh, absolutely. We can do as little or as much as people would like done. We have guides who fish every day. They know the lake, they know where the fish are, they know where the hazards are. And so we can do a fully guided trip, or we can just provide you a cabin and kind of point you in the right direction.
Spring in Devil's Lake is always real popular. Part of it, I think, is because, you know, fish are in the shallows. You can find them from shore. And walleye season is closed on this side of the Red River. But as summer goes on, do you find fishing stays pretty good throughout the whole summer, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. You know, the patterns will change just a little bit. They'll go a little deeper. Guys can do spinners with leeches or crawlers. That's very popular. Jigging gets popular, you know, gets going this time, you know, later on in the year. It's just a wide variety of everything on Devil's Lake that you can do.
So, Lucas, I was looking at the Hay Bale Heights Facebook page, and I see you got a 4th of July fireworks party coming up on July 7. Is that something that's open to anybody?
Yeah, we get a lot of people from town that come out and check it out. We put on it's probably one of the bigger shows in the area. And it's something, it's nice. It's a big show. It's worth coming out and looking at.
Well, I gotta think that, you know, knowing you, and you're probably like me, if my place like this, if my resort was going to put on a fireworks show, I'd want to go out and pick out some of the fireworks. Do you have a little hand in what the display looks like?
Oh, we put our input in, but the stuff we shoot off has to be commercially shot off. It's not your everyday go to the fireworks stand type of fireworks. This is the big stuff, so
sure.
It's pretty interesting to see.
Who comes out and does it then?
We have a company from South Dakota, Lewis Fireworks. They come up and they set it up for us. It's all electronic. It's all done off of a computer. So it's all state-of-the-art. It's pretty cool to see.
That's Saturday, July 7th at Dark Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Lucas Mertens for just another minute here on Sporting Journal Radio. I know you've been busy out in the fields. You're a farmer, too. How have things been going out in the tractor?
Well, the crop went in pretty nice. Yeah, we've been real busy. Now it's spray season, so now it seems like the wind will blow every day or you'll get a rain shower every day, but that's just kind of typical June weather in Devil's Lake. The northern basin has caught quite a bit of rain the last 2 weeks, and some of the coulees that run in the Devil's Lake are actually running heavier now than they were in the spring. So I might see a little bump and water levels come up a little bit and some new fresh water coming into the lake. So all in all, yeah, everything is going good.
Nice. All right. Well, if people want to get up and book a trip with you or stay at Hay Bale Heights this summer, you've got some available dates for them?
Yeah, people can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can check out our Facebook page, which is updated almost daily, or they can go to our website.
HayBaleHeights.com. And I know, you know, I was talking to some other guys about this, and I know it's summertime, it's 90 degrees out, people don't want to think about winter, but it's probably not a bad idea to start planning out an ice fishing trip too, right?
No, we booked a lot of people from last year. We still have room, but it'll go a lot faster than it typically does. We had a really good winter fishing, and I kind of see that just sliding on into next year, too.
For sure. HayBaleHeights.com, Lucas Mertens. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages. perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio network, online at sportingjournalradio.com, or get the show sent directly to your iPhone via the podcasts app available in the App Store. It is our 300th show, so do the math, divided by 52, comes up with, I don't know, there's a number in there somewhere. If I had a calculator, I'd be able to figure it out. But somewhere around that 6 years mark or so, I suppose we originally started this show as a component of Minnesota Sporting Journal magazine. But I remember brainstorming with Matt Soberg and Ben Bredigan at Game Fair back in 2012, and I just started with the magazine, and it was a new magazine, and we were trying to figure out how to get it out to the masses and how to tell people more about it and advertise and market the show. And I'm like, well, I've been in radio for a long time. Why don't I create a radio show? And they all thought that was a great idea. I went and interviewed Laura Scherer at Game Fair. That was the first interview I did with the magazine and then also for the radio show. I asked her to marry me. She said no. That's all right. But that's how it all started back in fall of 2012. And here we are 300 shows later. And Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism has been a part of the show for a long, long time. And Joe, first of all, let me say personally, thank you for being a part of the show. It means a lot to me to have you on the show every week. And of course, it means a lot to be a partner and in business. So thank you very much.
Oh man, it's my pleasure. Congratulations, Brett, man. That's a huge feat, man. That's 300 shows. Wow.
I can't believe it's been that long already. You know, it's my friendly little outdoor show that you hear around the region every weekend. But it's a lot of work to put together, and it's a lot of fun. And I get to meet a lot of cool people, talk about a lot of really cool things. And of course, we get to find out about Lake of the Woods every week. And rightfully so. That's one of those places, Joe. And I know obviously it's very close to you, and it's your job to tell everybody how great it is. But it truly is one of those resources that, you know, Doug Lear and I talked about this earlier. I think we don't always realize just how great we have it in this part of the world or this part of the country. You know, other people around the country just don't have the opportunities that we have. And yeah, we've got some great places to go fish in Minnesota. We've got some great lakes here. But Lake of the Woods is one of those unique places where, sure, fishing can be tough at times, but generally, you're going to have pretty good success when you're up there.
You're so right. It's really a gem. And, you know, yes, I do represent Lake of the Woods. Very proud to do it. But, you know, I've been going to Lake of the Woods as a tourist for 20 years before I ever started representing Lake of the Woods. And, you know, being from St. Cloud, you know, I pass up a lot of good lakes to go to Lake of the Woods. And there are, you're right, there are a lot of wonderful lakes in this state of Minnesota. And we are so lucky. I will say this. There's a reason why I always go to Lake of the Woods. And, you know, part of it is consistent fishing. Fishing 12 months a year for walleyes, basically, you know, the numbers you can have, the species of fish that you can catch. I mean, you never know what you're going to catch at Lake of the Woods. The size of the fish. I mean, you know, where else can you go and really legitimately have a chance to catch a fish that's, you know, over 28 inches, over 30 inches? We have a good gene pool for that. So, I mean, you know, there are some cool things about Lake of the Woods. With that being said, taking nothing away from the other lakes around the state. Every lake has something really, really great to offer.
Well, you're right, and it does. The one really neat aspect to Lake of the Woods, and I know we talk about it a lot, but one of the neatest aspects is the variances in areas, the geographical differences and the opportunities, like the spring walleye fishing and just how unique it is to go to the Rainy River and have a chance to catch some absolute pig walleyes up there, Joe.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, you get that spring fishery where it's a little bit extended, so you can fish to April 14th and chance for a monster walleye. And of course, we get those monsters all year long, but they're concentrated in the Rainy River that time of year. At the same time, you might be fishing walleyes and catch a 60, 70 pound sturgeon. I mean, it really is kind of cool that way. The other thing too is, you know, you might be fishing walleyes. This happens all the time. You might catch a 40 inch pike. You know, 40 inch pike, it gets to be so many of them caught up there accidentally that people say a 40 inch pike at Lake of the Woods, yeah, that's not a big deal anymore. 40 inch pike, you go to another inland lake in Minnesota, there's a good chance that there has never been a 40 inch pike living in that lake ever, because that takes a lot of, you know, to the gene pool, it takes tulabies, it takes a lot of things going on there. And so, yeah, no, it is kind of unique that way. And, you know, that stained water of Lake of the Woods, I mean, I like fishing stained water. The walleyes bite during the day. That certainly helps me on my sleep. You know, it makes it unique, because when you get a big fish on, you don't always know what that fish is until you get it 2 feet below the surface. I mean, it's just kind of interesting.
Well, you talked about big pike, and it's kind of interesting how you talk about walleye lakes in Minnesota, like Lake of the Woods, and that there's big pike and other big predator fish in there, like muskies. And granted, maybe muskies are more towards the angle or the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods, but they're in the same waters, and obviously it's a very healthy walleye fishery. And muskies open up, this weekend in Minnesota? I think, what is it, next week in Ontario, Joe?
Yep, I think so, yes. Yep, and you know, I'll tell you, when you talk about muskie fishing, you know, Lake of the Woods is one of the premier muskie fisheries certainly in North America. And, you know, with 14,552 islands, over 65,000 miles of shoreline, in a good population of muskies, very strong with a lot of big fish. You know, fishing muskies on Lake of the Woods is cool. Most of our folks will go up to the northwest angle, and what they'll do is they'll fish, most of them will fish Ontario waters. So they'll slide into Ontario. It's literally a stone's throw off most of the docks up there at the resorts, and they'll slide into Ontario and go after them. And you know what? You're far enough north. You got 14,000 islands. You got over 1 million acres of water. You know, there's enough water to spread out and not see a boat around every corner like you do in some situations. And you know, that certainly can help fishing, where the muskies aren't, they don't see as many lures as other areas.
Well, those lures, I'll tell you what, that's the one thing about muskie fishing. I guess it looks like it opened up last weekend here in Minnesota, and I did see some big muskies come through social media this past week. And this time of year, when those muskies open up, one way, and I know we've hit on this before on the show, Joe, but one of those ways to catch muskies or even big pike this time of year, when you've got little ducklings swinging, it's a little morbid to talk about it, but there's a lure out there that looks like a baby duck.
Yeah, those, you know, it's funny, this time of year when the muskie season does open in Ontario, and of course it is in Minnesota now, you know, it's very interesting, because I'll tell you what'll happen. A lot of the muskie anglers will use those, just a top water bait in general, whether it's a baby duck actually, or it's actually something that's got a, you know, like a buzz bait or something that represents, you know, a small moving object on top of the water. It's Mother Nature, and those muskies are used to whacking those, you know, that food source this time of year. And that is a go-to lure. I'll tell you the other thing interesting about Lake of the Woods, and, you know, I've muskie fished, but I'm not the hardcore muskie angler like some of our guides who guide for it. That's their passion. They'll go guide people for walleyes or muskies during the day. Then at night, they'll come back and go back out muskie fishing again on their own. I mean, they're just passionate about it, and they're so good at it. Anglers will throw these big, big lures and beat themselves up. And one of the cool things is, on Lake of the Woods, they actually throw a mid-size, for instance, spinnerbait or mid-size lure. And actually, the mid-size lures work better in many cases than the real big ones. You don't have to have that real big lure. It's very interesting, some of the trends. And the other thing, too, is when you're in the stained water of Lake of the Woods, you know, oftentimes you are going to throw a lure out, and you're going to do a figure eight when you get to the boat for sure, because of the stained water. You can't always see what's right behind it.
Yeah, and I've seen anglers that's the majority of their hookups are boat side on that figure eight like that. You get the muskies, we'll follow it to the boat, and then you gotta convince them to eat it when they're right next to the boat like that. Joe Henry is our guest, talking muskies, Lake of the Woods on Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. And I've seen it a lot of times, too, when you're on one of those lakes, maybe you're jigging next to a reef or something, and you got walleye gear. I've seen a lot of guys catch muskies on jigs like that.
It happens all the time. You would be, you'd blow you away to learn how many of our clients that are out with guides and stuff that are fishing for walleyes with jigs and minnows are catching big, big muskies. But you don't think about it. You got a big school of walleyes that you're fishing. Well, guess what? There's muskies around too, because that's their food source. And if a jig and a minnow comes in front of a muskie, yeah, it's a small bait, but it's right there. You know, a lot of times they will whack it. There's been a lot of big muskies caught. I'll tell you the other thing that's interesting is that, you know, we get a lot of really good muskie anglers coming up to Lake of the Woods to take advantage of the fishery. You know, it never fails. Seems like the biggest muskie caught in that area every single year is by some family that doesn't know anything about muskie fishing. And they go out fishing, and throw in a MEPS spinner around the resort or something where you never probably muskie fishing. Boom, they end up catching a, 54 inch or something. I mean, it's just funny how that works, right?
Yeah, it always happens like that. Or you're fishing and you got somebody brand new in the boat that, you know, has never fished before or isn't trying very hard, and it never fails. They always end up hooking into the big fish.
Beginner's luck.
Yeah. Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods, just about a minute left here. We should mention, I'm sure guys are catching walleyes right now out there.
Yeah, walleye bite's going really, really good. Most folks are fishing anywhere from, 20 to 27 feet of water on average during the day. Certainly a night bite going on in the evening hours when the sun's starting to go down a little bit lower in the sky. Now 10 to 15 feet of water up tight. But fishing's been just fabulous. Jigs and minnows, crawler harnesses, and crankbaits.
Has it been stormy up there?
Yeah, we've had some weather come through. And, people are still catching fish despite the weather. Just, what a lot of guys will do is, if you're going with a charter, you're going to be able to get out in that big water no matter what because of the size of the boats and the captains and stuff. If you are fishing on your own, if a storm comes through, a lot of people will come in and grab lunch or whatever the case might be and then just slide back out.
Is 4th of July a busy time on Lake of the Woods?
No, not really. I mean, there's plenty of lodging available if somebody would ever want to come up for 4th of July. You would think it would because it's a holiday.
Right.
But I think what happens is a lot of people have their traditions. And what I mean by traditions is they stay home for the fireworks or they do this or they do that. It's a really good time to fish. I mean, every pattern's going during the 4th of July.
Well, where should people go if they want to book a trip?
Yeah, you know what? You can check out our Facebook page, search Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, check out our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
As always, Joe Henry, thank you very much for being a part of our 300th show.
My pleasure, Brett. Thank you.
Also, thanks to Doug Lear and, of course, Lucas Mertens. And thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.